Good evening. Again. Just thinking, as Drew was singing that special. God sees the Savior. Then he sees me. In the beloved, accepted, free. Thank you for that special. I'd ask you to open your Bibles to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to look at the last few verses of 1 Peter 2, but I want to read through the first 20 verses here. With this thought in mind, the Lord Jesus Christ, much more than an example. Let's begin in verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, and all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. He's made us kings and priests, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Those good works they refer to, he says that they may behold your good works. I couldn't help but think of Job. Job, who was known as a man who feared God and avoided evil. Daniel, of whom those men sought to find fault with him. And they said, we'll not find fault with this man, except we find it in his worship, in his God. Noah was known as a just man. These good works, these aren't before God. These are before men. We're created unto good works. Wouldn't it be good? Wouldn't it be a good thing if God's people were known as humble people? Let's read on here. Submit yourselves, therefore, to to every ordinance man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, that we might have a humble and gracious spirit. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief and suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently, but when you do well and suffer for it, take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. Now look with me beginning in verse 21. Again, Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, more than an example. Here we read in verse 21, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." Christ suffered for us. He suffered for us. You see that? The Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. He that was one with the Father. He that said, "I and my Father are one." In John chapter 1 and verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He suffered for us. The Lord Jesus Christ, he that was made flesh. We read that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Lord Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not to be robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He suffered for us. He suffered as our substitute, as our redeemer. He suffered for us. My friend, God is holy. He is just. He is righteous. He will by no means clear the guilty. His law, it must be honored. His justice must be satisfied. And the Lord Jesus Christ came, and he obeyed the law, and he suffered and died on the cross, that God might be holy and righteous and just in his love and mercy to sinners. He suffered for us. Us who disobeyed his holy law. Us who have continually sinned against Almighty God. Us who are guilty and deserving of death. You see that? Christ suffered for us. Look at verse 22. 1 Peter 2, verse 22. Second point. Christ, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. We read this in our Bible study this morning about that lamb without spot or blemish. He was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. He kept company with sinful men, with publicans like Matthew and Zacchaeus and harlots. He was called a wine-bibber and a gluttonous man. Turn with me over to Luke chapter 7. Chapter 7, beginning with verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and then wiped them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." The Lord knew she was a sinner. She knew that she was a sinner. And look where she found herself, at the feet of the Savior. I believe that would be a good place for all of us, wouldn't it? To be at his feet. That was revealed unto her. She knew that. And listen, the Pharisees thought they were assaulting him when they called him a friend of publicans and sinners. Aren't we thankful? Aren't we thankful that he's the friend of sinners? Doesn't that give us hope, peace, and rest? After 40 days of fasting, our Lord was tempted in the wilderness. You remember that? Satan said that. He said, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." And our Lord replied, "It's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Satan tempted. Each time, our Lord responded with Scripture. In Hebrews chapter 4, turn there with me. Hebrews 4. Look at verse 15. "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." Listen, he knows our weakness. He knows our infirmities. He knows our pain. He knows our temptation, our sicknesses. He hungered. He thirsted. Huh? He wept. He became tired. Listen, he was in all points tempted like we are. But here's the big difference. Without sin. This was revealed to that one thief on the cross. Remember that as our Lord hung on the cross, there were two thieves there. And both of them at one time railed on him. Both of them at one time mocked him, but something happened. Something happened. And that one thief, as he railed on our Lord, as he hung on the cross, the other, we read he rebuked him. And he said, "Don't you fear God? Don't you fear God, seeing that you're in the same condemnation?" And he said, We indeed justly, huh? We're going to get what we deserve. We're receiving the due reward of our deed. Man thinks he wants a reward. Listen, there's only one thing we can earn, and it's clear in Scripture, the wages of sin, and that's death. We're getting what we deserve. That's what he told that other thief. But this man, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, this man, Christ, who did no sin, this man hath done nothing amiss. Isaiah 53, verse 9, he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. He did no sin, he knew no sin. He was the Lamb without blemish and without spot, Christ, who did no sin. He's much more. He's much more than an example in that he suffered us, in that he did no sin. And listen, we read on here in our text, when he was reviled, he reviled not. When he was abused, when he was reviled, when he was called a glutton, a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. You know, I can only speak for one person here this evening. And I can tell you this, when men say wicked things about me or about my family, whether they're true or not true, my desire is to say something back. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was reviled, he reviled not. He didn't speak in anger. He didn't speak in haste. He said this. He said, wisdom is justified of her children. When the Jews said that they called him a Samaritan and said he had a devil, he simply answered, I have not a devil, but I honor the Father. And on the cross, when he was reviled, when he suffered and was threatened like none other, when he was scourged and buffeted, when those officers spit on him, they smote him as he passed by. They smote him and they said, prophesy. Tell us which one of us hit you. When they plucked out the hair of his beard. Over there in Isaiah 50, verse 5, it said, the Lord God hath opened my ear. I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. And as he suffered, like no man has ever suffered, as he was crucified on that cross, in his pain and in his agony and in his misery, he didn't threaten. He didn't take vengeance. He didn't execute wrath. No. Instead, he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And if we read on in the text here in 1 Peter 2, verse 23, when he was reviled, he reviled not, but he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? He suffered for us. He did no sin. When he was reviled, he reviled not. And fourth, this man, his own self, bare our sins in his own body on the tree. He bore our sins. Let that settle in for a minute. He bore our sins. His own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live to righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. He, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered for us. The Lord Jesus Christ, who bore our sins. Christ, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. Christ, who his own self bore our sins. He took our sins, the sins of his people, upon himself. He carried our sins. He endured the wrath and punishment of Almighty God. His own self. There was none there none there to help. And just as the high priest went in alone into the Holy of Holies, not without blood, he entered in. He entered in for his people. Christ and Christ alone. Christ himself. He alone bore our sins. Original sin, actual sin, every act of sin of his people. The guilt of it, the punishment of it, and the sins he bore were not his own. He took them upon himself. He was sinless. All the iniquity of his elect, not of all men, not of every man, elect. All those he ordained to eternal life. The scriptures declare, call his name Jesus. We read that this morning. For he shall save his people from their sin. And as the surety and substitute for his people, our sins were laid on him. 2 Corinthians 5:21, we read that great transaction where he was made. The Lord Jesus Christ was made to be sin for his people. He had made him to be sin for us. Almighty God made the Lord Jesus Christ to be sin for us. He who knew no sin. He's the spotless Lamb of God, that we might be made the very righteous of God in him. Gill wrote this. He said, as a man takes up a burden and lays it on himself, so Christ took up our sins and he carried them up. And by one offering, he himself perfected forever them that are sanctified, them that are set apart. Turn with me to Isaiah 53. The best commentary on Scripture is always Scripture. Look here in Isaiah 53. Verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken. You know, get the true meaning of that. We put our name in there, don't we? Huh? Surely he hath borne Eric's griefs, huh? And carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Put your name right there. Huh? He wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, put your name right there, we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was made sin for us. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Isn't that clear? The transgression, he said, the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Sin paid for. He, his own self, bare our sins. Now turn back to our text. Back to 1 Peter 2, verse 25. Fifth point. And I'll close. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Now listen, here's some good. Even when we were going astray, we were still his sheep. You see that? But now, he says, but now you're returned. Now that's not our doing. We look up that word return. It's by his power. Okay? It's by his grace. It's by his doing that we are turned. We read that in Isaiah, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. And that way, that's the way we turn. It's our own way. The way that seemeth right. The way that the end thereof are the way of death. But listen, we're his sheep. And throughout the word of God, his church, his bride, his people, we're his sheep. And he said this, he said, my sheep, everybody else in the world might hear it, but my sheep, they hear my voice. We read here that we are returned to the shepherd and bishop of our souls. Listen to a few verses of Scripture. We read this morning, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He provides for his sheep. Isaiah 40, verse 11. He shall feed his flock. Like a shepherd, he shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. He leads his children. Our Lord is described in the scriptures as the good shepherd. He's described as the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. In 1 Peter 5, verse 4, when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And here in our text, he's the bishop, the overseer of the souls of his people. He watches over his flock. He visits his flock. He never forsakes his flock. He said he'll never leave. And each one of them are going to be delivered. Each one of them are going to be saved by his obedience, by his suffering, by his death. That's good news, isn't it? Turn with me to one more scripture. Turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. One more thought on this being returned. We are now returned. Luke 15, verse 4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, our Lord told this parable. He said, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, do not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the lost until he find it? What do we read there? All we like sheep have gone astray. We turned everyone to our own way. Look at verse 5. When he hath found it. There's no question about that. We read that earlier. He said he goes after it till he finds it. And when he finds it, it's not if he finds it. It's not if it finds itself. It's not if somebody else finds it and brings it to him. When he finds it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. He seeks, he finds, and then listen. When he comes home, He's going to find that sheep. He's going to put it on his shoulders, and he's going to bring it home. When he comes home, he brings it. He brings us. When he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors and says, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. Look at verse 7. There's joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. He turns us. He brings us home. Oh, we thank God for his word, don't we? He's more. Oh, Christ is, the Lord Jesus Christ, no doubt he is an example, but he is much more. He's much more than an example. He suffered for us. He did no sin. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. He bore our sin in his body on the tree. And he returned us. He returned us to himself. May God be pleased to bless his word to our hearts.